Okay, good morning, remnant of Lifehouse Church. It's good to see you guys. My goodness, you know, it's amazing the difference that one week makes from Easter Sunday, where there was food afterwards, to now. Hey, it happens. It's all right. I'm glad you guys are here for our next installment of our practicing practical principles and proverbs. Yeah, say that three times real fast. Today it's on another word that starts with P, and that's patience. Or we like to say the happy endurance of one more red light, which is a subtitle from a message I heard when I was in college from Terry Box. And I don't know what he talked about the rest of the message. But that subtitle stuck in my head. For me, that was the message. And I have remembered it ever since. Maybe you will too. That patience is the happy endurance of one more red light. Once again, I was also reminded that pastors need to be careful about what they speak about on Sunday morning. Not because of the possible reaction from the congregation, some pushback or something, but because they're going to be tested in that topic the week prior. Yeah, and so I just wanted to let you guys know you can put the blame for the cold, snowy weather on me. If I hadn't have decided to do a message on patience, and God says, well, let's see how he handles delaying Saturate, Iowa by another week, in comes the snowstorm. Yep. You know, for the people on staff there at the game store, you can blame the mysterious pooling of water in our storage room. Yep. God just said, hey, let's see how Tim handles this. On the busiest, longest day of the week, let's have some water mysteriously show up in the basement. Just wanted to see how I handled it. Yeah, you know, Saturday, the toilet in the store clogged. That's my fault. You can blame me. You know, I was home. I was looking forward after being up till, 5 a.m.? You know, I was looking forward to sleeping in a little bit, working on the message, but nope. Had to go to the store to unclog a toilet. God just wanted to see, let's see how Tim handles this one. Or I was actually working on the message. I thought, I'm a little thirsty. So I go to the refrigerator and I open the refrigerator door and out, and I kid you not, out flies this bottle of pop. It hits the ground, the lid pops off, and pop sprays everywhere. Got on me, the refrigerator, the floor, everywhere. And that's when I looked up and I said, Lord, this is getting plumb ridiculous. That's what I said. Oh, I tell you, patience. That's our topic today, and we're going to need it. So let's pray. So Lord, there's a reason, I'm sure of it, that in the list describing love, the first thing is patience. Love is patient. Now, I think you know we need to grow in that the most. It is the hardest for us to be patient in different areas in different ways. And, well, Lord, I sure would appreciate some wisdom from above on how to practice patience right here on the earth below. So, I ask you, God, move in your spirit, in our hearts, in our minds. I pray you'd quicken everybody's mind to be tracking this morning. We all need this. I'm not talking about, you know, transubstantiation or something. This is real life stuff. God, help us to be alert and eager. What did Bob say? Seeking. Help us to be seeking now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, just what is patience Anyway, I mean, how would you even define that term? Well, hurry up. Come on. Give me some ideas. Yes. Waiting in a long line. Okay, that could be an example of. Yeah. What? I get it. Okay. Uh-huh. Being Joey's mom. You open up Webster. Patient. Being Joey Mosher's mom. Enough said. Then it said, enough said. Anybody else? Give me a definition of patience. Anybody got it? What? Long suffering. You always get a good Bible answer from somebody. Thank you there, Lance. Yeah, guys, a definition. You could call it long suffering or cheerful endurance. You know, because if somebody is waiting for you to pick them up, and they're going, gosh, where is he? He is going to make me late. Explicative. Where is he? You wouldn't say, wow, now that guy's patient. Or not, and be serious. No. Patience isn't waiting. Patience is waiting cheerfully. It's enduring cheerfully. There's an attitude of, hey, wow, I hope he's okay. You know, this is probably going to end up a little late here. I should maybe give him a text, but, you know, God, help out, you know, so-and-so to get here on time. You know, there's a whole kind of different disposition and frame of mind from one swearing and, where is he? Man, is he going to hear from me when he shows up, to a person that's, you know, praying and concerned but not freaking out. There's a difference. Patience implies waiting or suffering cheerfully. And it's when you start talking about how about biblical patience, when you're talking about biblical patience, you even need to add a little bit more to it, because it's not waiting based on wishful thinking or because you're distracted by something else. You know, well, he's going to take him another 15 minutes. You pull out your phone, you catch a few dino DNA and a Pokemon here and watch a YouTube video. That might be a technique in being patient, but that in and of itself is not patience. That's more like preoccupying yourself. It might be a tactic, but it's not in its essence patience. No. When you're actually biblically being patient, you are putting your hope in God. Let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians. I should have it here. 2 Thessalonians 1:4. Look at this. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says to the people in this church, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Now, typically, if you are persevering poorly with much complaint and anger and frustration, you don't get praised for it. So it is implied that they're persevering through persecutions and trials with grace, with a degree of assurance that somehow God's got their back, even though their life is hurting. It's miserable. Persecutions and trials is typically not ranked among your top 10 things to experience that day. This is tough stuff, but he praises them and he boasts about them because they're handling hardship admirably. There's a patient endurance there. Let's look at Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:12 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, you know, what's that got to do with being lazy? You know, if you've got your Bible, you can actually look up these verses and see them in their context. Yeah, And there's gems to be reaped when you look up a verse in its context to understand more of what is really going on here. And it's interesting what he's talking about. Of course, you always have to find the book too. What he's talking about here is if you just go two verses beforehand in 6:10, he says, hey guys, I know you might be tempted to think this way, but he says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Okay, so these guys, maybe you can kind of like think of your life this way. Sometimes you might think, what's the point of following God? I mean, I go to church week after week and it doesn't seem like it makes one bit of difference. You know, I believe him and I deny myself certain pleasures of the flesh and you know, where's the good stuff? You know, and you might start thinking, I just simply have had enough of following Jesus. And that's where these guys were at. And so when he talks about lazy, he say, hey, don't give up spiritually. Don't give up on God. You might be tempted to do so. In fact, they were sorely tempted to do so, the Hebrews were. But he said, no, instead, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. There is a promise coming. Okay? And so that's the essence, the addendum of biblical patience. It's not just enduring cheerfully. It's because there is a promise, a reward of a benefit for doing so. So here's a definition. We got a couple of them I'm throwing out at you. Patience is joyfully waiting on God to come through for you. Okay? Joyfully waiting on God to come through for you. Now that might be a little bit more like, whoa, that's high level. So I'm going to broaden this out a little bit. How about patience is cheerfully enduring the circumstances of life? You could insert whatever you want there. Cheerfully enduring the circumstances of life until God rewards you in some way. Now, you might be thinking, I'm really putting God on the hook here. I mean, what if he doesn't want to reward you? You know, guys, faith in God is not like having a rabbit foot in your pocket. You know, maybe this rabbit's foot's going to bring me luck. Who even come up with that? I mean, what about the rabbit? He's walking around limping. You know, he's just missing a foot. I don't get that one. But anyway, he's not a rabbit's foot. God is a real being. A real being. He cares about you. He exists. And so we know from the cross that God wants to bless you. He wants to reward you. He wants to. So I don't think I'm putting God too far out on the limb there to say that patience is to cheerfully endure the circumstances of life until God rewards you in some way. In some way, you're looking to God to be your reward. Okay? That's our definition. Now, let's start talking in the trenches here. Let's get in the trenches. Okay. How about some classic circumstances that require patience? Some of you already threw some out. Give me a few things that test your patience. Let's hear it. The baby up all night wears you a bit thin. What else? Your kids. Yo, that's right. You might be ending up here on another question I'm going to be asking. What else tests your patience? Stubborn customers. Difficult people. Light? Life? Okay, we're trying to get more specific, but thank you. Staying after hours for work is like, come on, I have a life to live and it's not here. Waiting for spring and you think it's here, and then nope. Pastor decided to teach on patience. Being ignored over and over and over again. It's like, well, am I invisible? No, guess not. Yeah, okay, guys. Yeah, these are some great examples. Here's a few more. How about spilling things like pop? I mean, why on a bottle of pop would the lid that screws on just fly off? Because I decided to teach on patience. That's why. Waiting in line. Somebody had mentioned that earlier. Yeah. People making mistakes can really make you lose your patience. How about your phone not working right? Like it didn't charge last night or all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to talk a reasonable text into it and it comes up in Japanese. It's like, what is this? You know, that can be frustrating. And Sunday drivers on Monday morning. Yeah, come on. You know, I need to be there, you know. So, yeah. And of course, stoplights. You know, you're going through, you know, Water Street's not that long. Why do I have to hit every single red light? I tell you. Yeah. Yeah. Guys, those are some great examples. Now give me some classic symptoms of impatience. How do you know if somebody is being impatient? What signs, what symptoms do you see? Pacing back and forth. Yeah. Heavy sighs. Yeah, great. Yeah, thanks. What else? Stress. You can see it even in their face. Yeah, stress. Mumbling under your breath, saying things that you don't want others to hear. What else? Outbursts, yelling. Is definitely yelling, being really loud or angry. Well, I just said what angry. Quick-tempered, angry, getting angry and mad. That is a real tip-off that somebody's lost their patience. Here's my list. Worrying, anxiety, you know, that is definitely a sign of impatience. You start to worry. Anger, swearing, that is an instinctive response to a situation where you're feeling impatient with yourself, with others, whatever. Swearing. Hasty decisions. Making a decision real quick because you got to make a decision. We got to do something. And so, yeah, hasty decisions. Terse speech. Terse means cold, cutting, short, harsh speech. That's a symptom of impatience. And when these things show up in your life, and they do, and they will, and when they do, you have got to go to God. We have got to ask God for help, to be patient. We need to go to God for help, and He wants to help you. He wants to. It's not like you got to twist His arm. He wants to give you wisdom. In fact, the rest of this message is going to be God helping us with our impatience. The first bit of wisdom that God wants to share with you, as He shared with me, is like, this is good stuff, man. God, you know what you're talking about. Is what is the root cause of impatience anyway? Why am I getting impatient? What's going on with me? The answer can be found in Colossians chapter 3. If there was going to be a key text for this, it's Colossians chapter 3. I believe I've got it. Yeah, here we go. Colossians 3, my friends. Here we go. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Get rid of that stuff. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and, oh yeah, patience. That whole chapter answers really all of our questions. So let me unpack it a bit for you. We're going to start with verse 12. There's that word, therefore. And as you know, whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask yourself, thank you, Luke, what's the therefore, therefore? What is it therefore? It's there because of what he just got done saying. So really, this verse right here is redirecting you to everything he just got done saying in chapter 3. So when he talks about putting on, clothing yourselves with, cutting to the chase here, with patience, he's saying the key, the antidote for doing that is found up here. All right? Now, as you go up there and you start looking at stuff, you find what is the root cause of impatience. And it's in that phrase where he says, to not set your minds on earthly things. Guys, the root cause of impatience is when we pull from the world the means to make us happy, to find some satisfaction in life. If you are pulling from the world for your happiness and your satisfaction, you will be an impatient person. It's an inevitability. Don't put your heart and your mind on the world for satisfaction. You know, it's so interesting. It's almost like every time I use that word satisfaction, I instinctively think of an Ed Sullivan show. Now, I was too young to really catch Ed Sullivan, but I watched a clip of the Ed Sullivan show when the Rolling Stones were on there and they were hitting it big, and what couldn't they find? I ain't got no what? I ain't got no satisfaction. And they play the song and it's awesome riffs and all that. And I just remember this. They played the song. Ed Sullivan comes up and he's talking to him. And he says, well, now that you've hit it big time, now that you are, you know, the most popular band, whatever, have you found satisfaction? And he says, well, we're still looking for that. And yet, they have those things that all of us think that if I had that, if I had money, if I had popularity, if I had talent, then I'd be happy. Then I would be satisfied. But no, because they're pulling from the world for their satisfaction, it's going to elude them their entire lives. And it will come out as impatience in various ways. Guys, God needs to be our satisfaction. God needs to be that. In fact, I love the last song we played when we started singing, "You are more than enough for me." Guys, that's the antidote. You're thinking, well, I can never remember what the pastor says. Well, then at least get that song on your phone or your iPod or your Spotify and start playing that, because that song captures the solution and the resolution to impatience in your life is when you can honestly, honest to God, say, "You are more than enough for me." God's got to be our satisfaction. Paul says to set your mind on things above. That's where your life is. If your life is in Christ, then your life is where Christ is, and Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's where your life is. That's where your future is. You will never find satisfaction in the world. And yet, that's where we put it. How can we not? We live here. We are physical. We're trained from birth to look for our joy in the circumstantial. You know, like having money. You know, that's why we oftentimes think, you know, having money. That's like one of the other things I always mind triggered. When a billionaire was asked, "How much is enough?" And his answer is, "Just a little bit more." He's not satisfied. He's a billionaire! And we think, well, if I could just win the lottery, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Give it enough time, and you'll start finding things that you're not happy about with your life, because money's not the answer. You know, when we say that, we're just thinking, hey, I just don't want to have bills. When I get bills, I get so irritated because they're taking all my money. I don't want fines. I don't want fees. So we get impatient because we're looking to money to make us happy. How about just having things go right for you? Having the circumstances of life go right. Having what you wants to happen in your head happen in reality. Yeah, good luck with that, right? But that's what we want. What we think we want in our heads and it doesn't happen in reality, we get upset because our expectations are not being met. This happens on a weekly basis for me. Come every Wednesday night, in my head, I'm delivering that ball and she's hitting the strike every single frame. I'm setting myself up. What do you expect? You think, you know, why do you get so mad and upset? Yeah, because I've got this unrealistic expectation. Now, of course, they say to become an excellent bowler, you should be doing that. But I need to have my hope not in getting a strike every single time, because that will be sorely disappointing. No, in God. But that's what we do. We have our hope in what we think we want happening in reality. Things not breaking, things not wearing out, things not failing you in some way. But here's the real big one. It's people. Let's face it, right? It's people. That's our biggest frustration in life is people. People, you want them, expect them to be nice to you, you know, to notice you, to think well of you. And when that doesn't happen, it eats at you to the point where you start to lose your cool. You get impatient with life. But that's just not reality. People are just not always going to understand what you're going through. They're not going to always be asking you about how's your day and mean it. No, they might actually even ask you for things that you don't want them asking you for. It's like, stop asking me for things, you know. You know, it's like you can't, other people can't live up to your expectations. Of course, when that happens, we lose it. Get angry, yell. You know, we are no longer patient. But by doing that, when we look to the circumstances of life to satisfy us, were looking in the wrong sources to fulfill your life. You know, when you look to circumstances and money and people to make you happy, you know, give you that satisfying life, what that will do is it will drive you to try to control people and control circumstances to make them go right for you. You know? You've heard control freaks. People like that try to control everything, micromanage everything. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to have what they think in their head happen in reality so that their life can be happy. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. They inevitably will make you an impatient person because you cannot control people and you cannot control your circumstances all the time. There's some situations and elements, of course, you can. But there are things, way too many things, that are beyond your control. And when you lose control, you lose control. You know? So, you don't want that because that will make you an intolerable person to live with. So, I think I got that. That horse has been beat dead. You can't be driving your satisfaction from the world. It will make you an impatient person. The cure for impatience, again, it's to look to God to fulfill your life. Let's look at Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. That's the cure. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above. There it is. That's the cure. Not on earthly things. All right, so that's it. That's the cure. That's the key to being patient. Come on. What's wrong with you people? It's pretty obvious. I mean, come on. Just do it. You know, it's like, well, that's easier said than done, right? It's easier said than done. In fact, it's rather unrealistic to say that because we live in the world. We don't live in heaven. I know that Christ is there, but we're not there yet. So it's unrealistic. Yeah, you're asking too much. And really, this very thing can make us impatient. Like, come on. You know, and so what do? I'm going to give you a couple of ways to experience the cure for impatience, to experience the cure, okay? The first thing, guys, when the inevitable happens and life doesn't go your way and people don't do what you want them to do, first thing, practical way to experience patience is to take positive action. You know, rather than getting angry and emotional and frustrated, take positive action. Do something. Now, it's like, too vague. Guys, this is just a motivational point here. Jesus did something for you. That would be the understatement of the millennium, okay? Yeah, did he ever? Jesus did something. Think about how frustrated God should be. He created this whole world to be perfect, to be his precious bride. And here we are, off doing everything we can think of other than love God back. If there should be anyone in the cosmos who should be impatient, it'd be God. He should be the most impatient entity in the world, ever. But instead of just getting angry and mad and stomping his feet, what's wrong with these people, and pressing the smite button, instead of doing that, he did something. He took positive action. He came to earth, and he died on the cross. Guys, so many if not every issue of our lives, we can find an answer to by looking to the cross. It's just amazing how the cross really deals with so much of life's stuff. And you can look to the cross and you can see, instead of getting frustrated by our sin, Jesus came to earth and he took positive action. He did something to pay the penalty for our sin. Guys, this leaves us an example to do something to correct an injustice, to do something to resolve an intolerable situation. You know, the pop jumps out of the refrigerator, you know, set me free, and it hits the ground and it splashes all over. One of two reactions, you know, you can just blinkety, blink, blink, what the world, who did that? What's wrong with you people? Put the lid on, you know, that's a possible reaction. And we know it's true. Behind closed doors, we can lose it. Or, wow, didn't see that one coming. You turn, you go to the sink, you get the wash rag, you know. And thankfully at that moment, maybe I was still too tired or something. I was I'm going to the sink, get a wash rag, kind of in a daze. I can't believe that just happened, but you know, God, this is plumb ridiculous, okay, that whole scene. And then what happens? Ariana shows up. And you know Ariana. Oh, let me help you clean that up. And she did. And so between the two of us, the floor, you know, the refrigerator, my pants, and the dogs, they like pitch black, guys. The dogs, they love pitch black. It's just amazing. And so it got corrected. And you know something? It was just a little micro lesson for me. Rather than getting all upset that circumstances happened that didn't agree with what I wanted to have happen, just take positive action, cleaned up the mess, and was able to have a really kind of a neat little time with Ariana there. And it led me right to the next action, step to experience patience, and that's to be thankful. By the time that all got over, I was thankful for Ariana. But really, that's just a trickle-down of being thankful for what Jesus has done. Instead of blaming Jesus for what he didn't do, well, Jesus just should have momentarily suspended the power of gravity. And that pop would have just hovered there, and I could have grabbed it and put it back on the shelf. No harm done. No, he didn't. You know? He didn't prevent life from going south on me. Instead of blaming Jesus for what he didn't do, thank him for what he did do. And then by the end of that situation, with Ariana's help and everything, I was thankful instead of regretting losing my cool. Another way to experience the cure for impatience is to consciously remember the blessings of patience. This takes some mental work. You might have to go back several weeks to that self-control, the self-discipline teaching, because this you're going to have to work on. Let's take a look at Romans 5, 3, and 4. Okay, consciously remember the blessings of patience. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Who is this? Glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Okay, let's try to pull this together. He glories in his sufferings, not because he likes to feel pain. No, it's because we know. He knows something. What does Paul know that would make him respond this way to suffering? He knows that suffering produces something. There is something to be gained from this difficult thing in my life. Perseverance, which is the essence of patience, patient perseverance, patient endurance, joyfully, cheerfully enduring, patience. And patience, if you could just say the word patience instead of perseverance, and patient character, start to develop character. We all say, well, I sure will look forward to heaven because then I'll be just like Jesus. Guys, you can be more like Jesus right now. You just got to start applying patience in your situations of suffering, and then character, hope. And so you've got to realize that situations that require patience will deliver a benefit to your life as you apply them. That patience develops and strengthens not just your character, but your trust in God. You know how he says, like, you are testing my patience, boy. You know, have you said that a few times? I've said that a few times. Really, you know what's being tested? Is your trust in God. That's what's being tested. Not just your patience, but your trust in God is being tested. And patience will build hope, that confident expectation of good. And isn't it interesting that having a legitimate hope is the end goal? In this list, in this passage, the end goal that we're shooting for is hope, a real, sure hope. And you're not going to get there without going through there. But going through there doesn't guarantee you'll get here unless you go there. Just saying. I'm telling you. You should do a message sometime. You'll get all animated too. Like, I'm reading this stuff. It's like, God, you're pretty good. So I am going to close with some areas of application to practice patience. Here you go. Just three things. Guys, since people are our number one trigger to be impatient, I'm going to start with that. People, what should you do when they don't live up to your expectations? Praise others far more than you correct or criticize them. Praise others far more than you correct or criticize them. The one other thing I do remember from Terry Box's teaching on the happy endurance of one more red light is that's where he shared the gem, and I've tried to do this, not so successfully, but I try, is to praise a person 10 times to every one correction. Okay, it's just an idea to get it in your head to be more instinctively praise people than to criticize them. Praise them 10 times to every one correction. If you can develop that, you will create a culture of praising others. And wouldn't that be a lot more enjoyable? Is to have a culture of praising others in our church, in your home? That's the thing to shoot for. Number two, guys, back off, my words, back off on new or young Christians. Back off. Sometimes I've said people that put expectations on a new or young believer that is just, I would have to say, a bit intolerant. I'm going to say, back off, guys. You understand the difference between a new or a young one? A new believer is someone who more recently, chronologically, within the time scale, has come to faith in Christ. They've just not had a lot of time to learn and to grow, to replace the bad thinking and put on the new thinking. They just haven't had much time. A young Christian could have been a Christian for decades, but they're spiritually young or immature. Guys, there's people like that all around us. And you might be thinking, well, this guy's known the Lord for 20 years. He should know better than this. He should be better than this. And so we can get really intolerant and impatient with them because they're not where we think they should be. You know, they're not where we are, right? So we need to back off on the new and the young Christians and don't demand them to be as spiritually mature as you think you are. Doing that, if we could do that, if we could just give people more grace, more time, more space, more understanding, wow, it would create a culture of grace in our church, in your home. Wouldn't that be so much more enjoyable to have a culture of grace? Back off on the new and the young Christians. And lastly, we've tipped on this one already. Give thanks. Be thankful for everything, the Bible says. Wow, everything, at all the time. Make it a habit in your life to be thankful. Philippians 4:6 talks about that. And there's multiple verses. There's one in Colossians as well. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Rejoicing always in the Lord. You know what you'll find? Is that if you are giving thanks in everything, you will be rejoicing always. It just kind of goes like that, you know. It's like the dominoes, you know. Give thanks. Oh, I'm actually happier in life. Not that life's changed, you've changed. You're more thankful. And that is a great tip, believe you me, in overcoming impatience, is to have an instinct to give thanks. Wow, wouldn't it be great to have a culture of gratitude in our church, in your home, rather than criticism? So those are your three areas of practical practicing patience. Praising others far more than you criticize. Back off on the new and the young Christians, and then give thanks in everything the Bible says. Still working on that one. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much. You're so smart. Wow. God, you are so good, and you have given us those truths that we need to be like you. And not just like you. Well, it is like you, but it's to find the life that somehow, for some reason, it's stuck in our head that we want. Even though we've never seen it. We've never seen it played out, but it's stuck in our head. I want to be a more fulfilled person, a happier person. I want to have a satisfying life, content, filled with joy. Never seen it anywhere with anyone, but for some reason I want that. I want it in full. And God, you are here to deliver. Thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth, and your truth sets us free. And I want to ask you, God, to be building patience into our lives. Help us to practice being patient rather than giving into the instincts because our expectations are in the world. God, help us to put that to death and to put on a mind that is set on the things above. Our hope is in God, and it will inevitably give us the frame of mind, the attitude to respond with the people and the circumstances of life. Our hope, O Lord, is in you. In Jesus' name.